Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hear that podcast growling, mean and angry. Hear that vocal shouting, it's Danger.
Mike Petralia.
It's Danger.
Mike Petralia.
All right, welcome into the latest edition to Hear That Podcast. Growlin', Paulie Nur Jr. of The Athletic here with you. Wild card Thursday on a Friday this week. Last one of the season. We've made it all the way through, and we're finishing with a bang, and that is with your guy, Trags, Mike Petralia from the Jungle Roar Podcast, CLNS Media. What's up, Trags?
The roles are reversed, Paul.
Are they?
Yeah, sort of. Like, I have had you on many, many times, and I appreciate you having me on the final weekend of the season when the games don't mean anything.
Well, we, you know, people that have come on here have felt judged by when they've been asked. Like, Joe and Jeremy were like, oh, yeah, you choose this. I think it was the Houston game where they were like, it felt like, oh, you're waiting for this one. And I was like, hey, look, it's not about, there's no judgment, okay? There's no judgment here. These are important. I would argue these moments of over the next weeks and month and beyond as far as the execution of it, but the conversations being had in the building over the next month are some of the most important that they'll have in a long time, because they've not been in this position of having to totally say, what went wrong here and how do you fix it and where do you go from here? So I think that, Trags, you and I engaging in some of this now is more important than anything that was talked about over the last month with any of the rest of these yahoos that came on the show with.
So this is what you're saying is a launching pad into a critical offseason for the Cincinnati Bengals. And that's why this is such an important appearance on Keep That Jungle.
Hear that podcast growling. Hear that roaring podcast.
I'm sorry. I am so confused. I'll get my bearings, Paul.
Trags, some would call this soul searching time for the Bengals.
Some would call that soul searching time and purpose time the Bengals.
So quickly through news, no T. Higgins in practice this week. Hamstring. I think that's expected that he won't play. Zach Taylor essentially reprimanded us for claiming that they wouldn't play to win this weekend, saying, I don't think you're listening to me. We're playing to win. Do you buy this, Trags?
I think they're trying to win. Yeah, I do think finishing with a winning record means something to Zach Taylor and the coaching staff. I think long-term, I think the Bengals would ideally like to have the highest draft pick possible, because trades are made at draft time just to move up 2 to 3 slots. Well, how can you not say that the draft order isn't important in a situation like this? It is. But when trying to, you're faced with the circumstance of you want to win the game. If you're going out there to play the game, you want to win the game. And I do understand that, and I do respect that. But I had never heard Zach Taylor reprimand us the way he did this week when he said, I don't think everybody's listening to me. And I'm like, that sounded like a school teacher on the next to last day of school when clearly the kids have checked out.
Yeah.
That's kind of been that feel all week to me.
Yo, 100%. This is senioritis at its highest levels. I thought Zach Taylor sounded like somebody, you know, when the teacher does say, I don't think you're listening to me, it's usually because the principal has told the teacher, make sure they're listening to you this week. That felt like ownership has told the coach, make sure we're all in on winning this game. Okay. We're trying to sell tickets and have a good product out there.
Yeah, and I do understand that feeling in the building that finishing 9-8 is a different vibe than finishing 8-9. And having the organization post another winning record, that does matter to the Brown-Blackburn family. You would agree?
I would agree. And I think as from players' perspectives, every time you step out there, money on the floor, as they say, right? Every time you step out there is tape that can be used for or against you. On that note, few stories up right now. The whip around is up, and the other three teams are talking about playoffs. I was not answering questions about playoffs to the AFC North conversation. Check that out. We have a great story up now that Zach Kiefer and Kalen Kaler worked on inside Black Monday, talking to a bunch of former coaches that have been through it. And Marvin Lewis talked that, and I know from behind the scenes, knowing some stuff on that story was really cool story that's up. I have a story up right now on the secondary issue, which is, okay, is it, Trags, is it this easy to say, okay, year one to year two jump is substantial. There's plenty of anecdotal evidence of players that have taken big jumps. There's plenty of proof in this league of you take your lumps as a secondary player in your first season as a starter, and in the second year you do typically see growth. Are you buying that that's enough to fix the secondary and say, okay, just count on growth here?
I'm not buying that Lou Anarumo is buying that is the bigger question. And that's kind of how I would answer that question, Paul, is that, and I know we talked about this on Thursday in the media workroom, is that reading the tea leaves from Lou Anarumo, he said two things. He said, we've called that play 400 times this year. The one that the 67-yarder to Rashee Rice, in which Cam Taylor-Britt was beaten, but he expected help from Dax Hill because they were in cloud coverage and expected help over the top. And secondly, Dax Hill has been, you know, in this situation pretty much all season long, and he went the wrong way.
Yeah.
Those two things, saying you went the wrong way and we've called this coverage 400 times, indicates to me that I don't know if Lou Anarumo thinks that this is the best spot for Dax Hill going forward. That is the way I read that. And, you know, maybe they do give him another shot next year if they don't bring anybody else in at free safety, or what essentially for all intents and purposes is free safety, since they don't use that term necessarily in the building. But if they don't bring in another safety and they don't draft somebody to come in and start, which I don't think would be the case, then, you know, Dax Hill probably gets one more year in the position unless it goes horribly poorly next year, then they have to make a switch midstream. But I think Dax Hill does get one more year.
Yeah, no, and that will be a conversation that they'll have to have if they're, because it's not like he's somebody without versatility that you couldn't try in other spots. Right. I mean, we've heard them say down the line they think it's possible he has the athletic skill set to be even an outside corner. He has a ton of history playing slot. You still have Mike Hilton here, but are there other options that you consider with him? And is that where he would get bumped to if they decided to go to a more veteran free agent route? The bottom line is what you said, Trags, and that is, we can talk all we want to about the year one to year two jump. This is a guy who was in the system in the background for a year and has more snaps than any first or second year member of any secondary in the NFL this year. Over 1,000 snaps.
That's a
and
lot.
And over in snap 1,000 and about 20, he goes the wrong way on a base one play call. That's something that should give everyone pause about, okay, are we counting on it to click at some point for Dax?
So there was something, there's another domino that falls behind this, and that is the linebacker play. And I asked Lou earlier in the week in the same press conference, I think it was on Wednesday, would you consider the linebacker, how would you evaluate the linebacker play, and would some uncertainty behind the linebackers you know, factor into evaluating how they've played this year, Jermaine Pratt and Logan Wilson? And I thought it was interesting. He said, when we have to look behind us and there's that half a second to a full beat of indecision, you can't have that. And they clearly, anybody who's watched the Bengals linebackers play this year, they have not nearly been as decisive hitting the gaps, making their reads, closing in on tacklers, which has led to missed tackles. obviously. That's been the domino, because I don't think Logan Wilson has always trusted what's behind him in the secondary.
No, it's so funny. I asked Logan about that exact comment, and his point was, he said, you know, a lot of stuff that they do is predicated on checks that the safeties are making, and that has to be communicated. And he said, young guys are trying to understand what their voice is, literally and figuratively. He's like, you know, they're trying to get their feel for how they run the offense, how they communicate, even such things as simple as being loud enough. When you're when you are at a point where you are saying, like, you're worried about a guy being loud enough on the field, much less the, like, ripple effect of 15 other things they have to be, that's so base level one when they were previously dealing on the 500 level that it's, you understand why a lot of that hesitation and mistakes are happening. Mike Hilton said the same thing. He spent too much of the first half of the season worrying about the other guys, and that's why he felt he wasn't playing well. And once he settled down and just kind of played his game and tried to count on them and trust them more, he played better. But they have to get better there. The point, though, is there is a lot of history of players not making these mistakes. Like, this is what young DBs do. This is what it is. Right. The Bengals have four of them that played at least 480 snaps this year first or second year players. That is dramatic. That's nothing like you have across the NFL right now. I have that list inside of that story. So to me, I buy counting on it. I just think you need an insurance policy. I'm interested in some kind of a veteran either push, or maybe it's a competition. And you put fire to Dax Hill's feet or whatever, another draft pick, whatever it is. I'm looking for something potentially there to add into that room rather than just, everyone should get better.
I know the name Harrison Smith has come up, and should the Bengals decide to go in that direction, because they obviously are big fans of the Vikings free safety. If they were to go in that direction, Harrison Smith's not coming here to be a backup, obviously.
No.
You're making a decision to switch out and move Dax Hill around, make him some type of second cornerback, third corner, who knows, going forward. Yeah. And to me, that would be a fascinating storyline to follow. But for now, I think Occam's razor, if you will, Paul, Occam's razor.
I don't know if I'll Occam's razor. What do we mean by Occam's razor?
The simplest solution or the simplest explanation is the path of most likely occurrence. So that's what I think is going to happen, is Dax staying put where he is.
That would be a very reminiscent of the Orlando Brown signing of, okay, now what does this mean for Jonah Williams? And maybe you go through some struggles and you hope that it ends up landing in a good place. Which is another story which is another conversation for another piece. But today I want to make sure we touch on the big three. This could be their last game together. I think there's expectation that this will be their last game together. How many of them? TBD. But, you know, as far as T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, and Tyler Boyd, the aptly nicknamed by Dan Hoard, Cincinnati three-way, this is probably it. We talked to Jamar Chase a little bit yesterday about that concept, you know, kind of leading off with the idea of this being the last time that three of them are together, his contract, T's contract, and a number of other things in between. And then after the game on Sunday, I spoke with Tyler Boyd a little bit about his contract and free agency situation. So here's Jamar Chase followed by Tyler Boyd.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I'm going to say a lot of memories. You know what I'm saying? A lot of memories. A lot of laughs. You know what I'm saying? Just a lot of bonding going on, you know, with those guys. Just, you know what I'm saying? It's just something I can't explain. That's how much fun we always have. But if that does happen, you know what I'm saying? When I'm end up the OC. I know that it just happens, you know what I'm saying? I can't control that. You know, they, I just got to do my job and lead by example.
Do you think after Sunday you might talk with T and Tyler about their future? Or is that something that you won't do?
They know, the I mean, they know where I want them. I mean, it's not no if you know what I'm saying. They know what I want, but I mean, that's what they want. You know what I'm saying? I won't hold nobody back for what they want. You know what I'm saying? That's not me letting them be the greatest they could be. You know, at the end of the day, so you know, I support anything they do. You know what I'm saying? Those are my brothers. You know, I love them to death, so I support them.
You want to get a contract in the
soft season? Lord knows I want to do that. I mean, but. We'll see what happens.
Does Justin Jefferson have to sign a contract for you to sign a contract?
Hell yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens this season. You know what I'm saying? Just go for it. But I'm just enjoying what's in front of me right now.
When you're going through and looking at structuring your contract and what that negotiation would be like, what's the most important thing you want in that next game?
We're just probably just up front, for real.
Just up front, guaranteed?
Probably so, yeah.
Would you want guaranteed money in year two? Move me on, is that something that...
I don't know, you're going a little too far now, buddy. I don't know. Give you a little spice, don't take all of it.
Do you have any optimism that a deal with T can get done? Do you feel like that is something that could happen?
I'm sure something could happen. I don't know how hard he may have to try, but I'm sure they may... try to get something done. I hope they do. If not, who knows how it'll be in the future. But, you know, at the end of the day, hopefully, you know, something's good happens his way.
How about you going to say?
I mean, nobody knows what's next for anybody. Like you either. I mean, does that make it even harder in an uncertain future to know what's next?
I mean, I don't think it's going to be hard. I don't think it's a hard thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is my first free agency, so, I mean, I don't know what to expect. And, I mean, if chips fall back here, then that's what it's going to be. If not, I mean, that's just something I'm trying to worry about after I finish getting done playing with the guys.
That's something that you'd want, I assume, you know, to complete your time here.
I mean, of course, you know, it's the only team, it's the only franchise I ever played for. You know, this is the franchise who gave me my first opportunity to play in the National Football League. So, of course, you know, I'm always feel like I can be here, you know, mm-hmm. depending on situations, but...
Yeah.
It's a business.
Who knows, right?
Yeah, it's a business.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
First of all, Trags, love talking to Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase wins the Media Cooperation Award this year.
Yeah, deservedly so.
For things similar to what you just heard. Very open, very willing to engage with all of us, always there, and obviously his superstar status has made him very much in demand, and he's never been one to back down from that. Did anything he said yesterday change your mind about how you previously felt about the Bengals' potential path forward here?
No, I think clearly, and I'm writing this for clnscincy.com, Ja'Marr Chase has always been the number one receiver in the receiver room. T. Higgins is the 1A, and they're going to do what they, the priority is bringing back Ja'Marr. And I think Ja'Marr indicated as much that he certainly would love to have T. Higgins back as a, you know, tandem duo teammate, but I don't think that he senses that that's possible right now, because T is going to want to go out and get the money that he deserves. And certainly I think Ja'Marr would never stand in the way of that. But I just got the sense from Ja'Marr, he realizes business is business and the Bengals will figure it out. He's got to take care of his own family, as it were. And I don't think Ja'Marr is prepared for the breakup. That's what I think.
Yeah, no, he sounded like that. I there was almost a twinge of him getting emotional when he was talking through it at one point. And now I always appreciate Ja'Marr, who had one of my new favorite Ja'Marr lines, which is, I gave you a little spice. Don't go taking all of it to Ben, which I really enjoy. That was just very well played. But that said, he did give us a little spice. He's like, hey, look, I want guaranteed money up front. He wants his. And look, Joe Burrow didn't take any cuts. Okay. Joe Burrow, for all the talk, you know, of maybe he'll beat Brady, right? Maybe he'll take far less. Look, Joe Burrow getting $219 million guaranteed. He broke a bunch of records. He did say he'll stay through 2029, but I think that sets the precedent of, you got to go get yours. And everybody, I think, recognizes that. Do you know this? How many snaps that a fully healthy Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins played together this year? Do you know the answer to this?
I'm going to guess, this is going to be a ridiculous answer, but I'm going to guess it's south of 50. I'm going to say 45.
No, it's 121.
Okay.
Which is,
that's still incredibly low.
It's incredibly low when you consider in 20.
But you said fully healthy, correct?
Fully healthy. So I'm counting week five Burrow on.
You're right. Okay. I just want to make sure you're not including the first four weeks.
It's three games.
Three games.
It's Buffalo, San Francisco, and Seattle were the only time that you had them out there on the field together. In that 121 snap bucket, right. their metrics by every account would have been the best in the NFL.
That's pretty remarkable.
Would be number one in the league against the league, the year-long stats. Granted, obviously small sample size, but that's still who they are, right? Like, that's what they got, 121 snaps of compared to 674 in 2022 and 872 in 2021. That is who they are. And they were better than they'd ever been. It just was for such a small piece of time. We never got to see it. And to me, there's an argument there. There's an argument there for, is T. Higgins worth a franchise tag of $21 million for 1 year?
I think he is, for the record.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And there are people who say that you cannot spend that kind of money on a second receiver when you have so many other holes to fill. And I think that it'll be interesting to watch this, Paul, because I think the Bengals have spent money and prioritized the most important positions on the team throughout their history, and then let, you know, the depth of the team suffer. And other organizations don't view it that way. They feel like you get through a successful NFL season with quality and numbers, and you, if somebody wants too much and it ruins our ability to have depth, then so be it.
And that's going to be the decision. You wonder, are we going to, you know, because they have so many holes to fill. I mean, you're talking about, we can talk about the big three. How about the big six? Reader, Jonah Williams, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, Chidobe Awuzie, potentially Joe Mixon, who could be a cap casualty. You're talking about four captains. And I talked about this with Mo on Tuesday and wrote about it this week. It's not that there's turnover happening. It's that core members of this entire franchise are turning over. And I don't know how many of those will be back. But some of them, some of them probably should. But how many of them will? How many of them can they afford? It's a a crazy question to see as they go forward. And I don't know. If you were picking one, also, who would it be? Yeah. If you had to pick one today, if you had to place a bet down of who of that six will be on the Bengals roster, most likely to be on the Bengals roster opening day next year, who of that six would you choose?
Jonah Williams.
Yeah.
Because I think the offensive line actually played quite well, and I don't have the metrics right now in front of me to support the case, but just by the eyeball test, I think Jonah Williams shifting over to right tackle has worked out about as well as the Bengals could possibly have hoped, and he's still relatively young, and you need an offensive line that Joe Burrow trusts, and I think he trusted that offensive line, and so my answer to that would be Jonah Williams, but I don't know if the history between the two sides factors in. Obviously, there was some bad blood and some hurt feelings last year that Jonah even acknowledged in, when was that, OTAs or in spring practice. And there was no communication. Can Jonah Williams' side get past that, and can they work out a deal? Because I think if I were choosing, that'd probably be the way I'd lean.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's anything we've learned from this year, it's protect the quarterback, protect the franchise, keep that guy healthy across the league, not just in Cincinnati. And you wonder, is Williams Higgins the new Sewell Chase, right? Like, is it on a lesser level in a different way? Do you feel like, okay, or can you find a medium answer at right tackle better than you can find a next level answer at receiver, and what does that
mean? And I also think Jonah Williams is not going to cost you as much as T. Higgins will.
No.
And I just think that is kind of the way they might be leaning. I think there are other ways to fill T. Higgins's spot than there are Jonah Williams. But as I say that, T. Higgins is already established in the system, knows the system, has a relationship with Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. So it's a fascinating conversation to have. But the other issue with T. Higgins, and you have to bring it up, Paul, is his health and his ability to stay on the field. It's got to factor into that.
Yeah. There's so much nuance here. It's like, I feel like this is one of those that you could go into for days and many column inches, and we will. Because we have all offseason. Yes, we have plenty of content and time to fill.
Extra month.
Yeah, we have plenty of time. I mean, this time last year, I mean, the thought of, writing about the offseason was about as far out of any of our heads as it could, because you knew what you were writing about. And that was a Super Bowl run, what they hoped to be a Super Bowl run. And it ended up going and ending in the same place that this year did just a month earlier. Before we wrap it, Bengals growler bet. Time is here. Of course, after last week, I don't even know what to expect. We've got James Rapine's making videos, Jeremy Rouse singing songs. I don't know what's going on anymore. It's my wife pointed out, like, it feels like we're close to seeing one of these Cincinnati, like, C-list celebrity montage videos that have happened in the past. Like, and so I'm just prepared for all of it. I don't know what y'all are gonna do. But Trags is here. We're gonna give our answers first. Here's my Bengals growler bet for this weekend. Of course, P. Daner at The Athletic with growler in the subject header, or hashtag Bengals growler bet on Twitter for your submission. My number this week is going to be, let's go rookie yards from scrimmage on Sunday. Yards from scrimmage by the rookies for the Bengals. So Andre Yoshivash, Chase Brown, Charlie Jones, you know, the collection of characters. What would be your number for this weekend? Rookie yards from scrimmage. Will we see 75, more?
75 times three is what? 225?
That's correct.
That's a lot.
Good quick math on your part.
That's a lot. So I'm going to go 50 yards less than I'm going to go 175.
175. And I think that's an optimistic view. I don't know how much Charlie Jones we're going to see, because we haven't seen much. I think if I were coaching the team, I'd like to see a little bit more Charlie Jones, at least for one game, just a little bit of what it looks like. I'd certainly like to see more of Chase Brown, but I've said that for a long time now, so, and we haven't, so who knows. I'm going to say I'm going to say 99 will be my number, that they don't quite go all the way into the play in the kids fest that I think a lot of people would like to see. But submit your answers and Lord knows whatever else. P. Daner at The Athletic and hashtag Bengals Growler Bet on Twitter. For Arby's this week, I want to ask you, Trags. I have so much enjoyed the Ted Karras Cincy hat and now the Walter Payton Man of the Year charity challenge thing. And the fact that he's up to like 60 people willing to get tattoos now.
Yes.
Is
good job. Good job of asking him on Thursday, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just, I can't wait to see this. And so it's pointed out he's not here to like fill your tattoo needs. Like he'll pay for basically whatever version of the Cincy hat logo is a part of it, a 1-inch by 1-inch, but no snakes. He's not paying for you to get a snake, even if it has a Cincy hat on it, maybe just the Cincy hat part. But he was hinting also at big things popping in the future, which yes. I'm interested in, that there's somehow even bigger things. I'm not sure how it could get bigger than what we've seen from Cincy Hat right now. Have you ever seen a community like just put their arms around something like they have with Ted Karras and Cincy Hat and all of and the Village of Marici? I've not quite seen anything quite like it before.
Two things on Cincy Hat. First of all, it's led by a genuine, terrific team leader of the Bengals in Ted Karras, a terrific sports figure in Cincinnati. And he's genuine and it's heartfelt. And he brings tons and tons of charisma. I think sometimes we take it for granted when we walk in that locker room and how approachable he is all the time. Well, he projects that to the community and he's always saying how grateful he is to the fans, and the fans eat that up, and they should. You know, you have an athlete who loves being where he is. Secondly, the fact that the Cincy Hat people and the Village of Marici have branded this and marketed this perfectly, that's the other reason I think it's taken off. And that's why you've seen the phenomenon, Paul, that I think you have with people just embracing this, you know, day after day, week after week. They always have new product coming out. And you know, Paul, that in marketing, you have to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
If you keep the product fresh, people are going to say, oh, wow, they're going to come to expect something new all the time. And the Village of Marici and the Cincy Hat people have done a great job of doing that. That's why I think it succeeded.
Well, and now everybody wants in. You get they got the like skyline colors and the skyline Cincy hat. And like, and it's just, and you've had the Reds one and the FC Cincinnati. It's just, there's so many different options for something that's so basic to keep it fresh. I am fascinated to see what's next. But if you haven't, try to, put your hashtags in there and vote, which you definitely have. He's in first place. And it's all I ever see, I feel like, on my feed anymore is Ted Karras votes. But $35,000 to Village of Marici if he ends up holding on to this first place thing.
By the way,
of course, the weekend.
Kudos to Joe Burrow for joining in and allowing him.
Letting Ted Karras, Ted Karras, who said he had to go up to Burrow and say, "Hey, man, can you tweet for me, bro?" Like, he's like, it's kind of a weird ask. It's kind of a weird ask to go up to anybody and be like, "Hey, can you tweet for me?"
Does anything make him more self-aware than his acknowledgement of, yeah, it's a weird ask. I get that. That's what you do have to love about Ted.
Yes.
Karras.
And he said,
incredibly self-aware.
Incredibly. And it said, Burrow said, all right, but you craft it. You have to put it in there. I hit send and it needs to be documented that you did all this, that this is happening. And so I appreciated all of that. And Burrow dropping in with his like second tweet in a month, one about aliens and one about Ted Karras. You know, it's like you just never quite know what you're going to get. Before we go, prediction. Do you have a prediction for Sunday's game, Trags?
Yeah, I think the Bengals win this. I think it means more to them than it does the Browns. I think the Bengals are going to exact a measure of revenge on Jeff Driscoll. And it's going to be 31-14 Bengals.
Yeah. If one team doesn't care and another team kind of doesn't care, I'm going with the team that kind of doesn't care. You know, I mean, because there's still – Now, the Browns will have people that are – the guys that are in there are going to be, again,
right.
money on the floor, right? Guys are going to be out there playing. They may be their backups or not. I don't know. But you're going to have Bengals players out there playing. I'm not going to buy the Jeff Driscoll hype. I am fortunate enough to have seen weeks where a team had to believe Jeff Driscoll could lead them to a win. I've covered them, and I know how they typically end up. And they typically end up in losses. I think the Bengals do win too. I have 27.
I do think I'll make this bold prediction.
Yeah.
It may not be by a lot, but there will be more people in the stands for this Jeff Driscoll game than there was the only Jeff Driscoll victory in his career, which was, you remember it?
It was the last game of the 18 season, wasn't it?
Last home game in the Marvin Lewis era against the John Gruden Oakland Raiders.
Oh. What a game it was. What a game it was. I have to check the butts in the seats number on that one. It was not high. Trags, I appreciate your time. As always, always great to make sure people are listening to Jungle Roar podcast and reading everything Trags has up, which has a great story on Trey Hendrickson up right now, which the two Pro Bowlers, Chase and Trey Hendrickson. I think we might have to discuss team MVP at some point here, vote, which I think is more interesting than it's maybe been in a long time. Usually it's pretty easy. We might have a hard one on our hands with Trey Hendrickson this weekend entering into the conversation. Trax, appreciate it. Thank you very much. And we'll talk to you next time. Have a good one, everybody.
Hey, hey. Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.